Let me just start by saying I don't want to appear to be boasting about myself. So whatever I say about myself, I'm only saying it because it's part of the story. Really, it's about Jesus. It's not really about me. It's about my how God found me. So I will have to tell you some bad details about my life. I'm not proud of those things. but it's part of what happened, you know. You'll have to forgive me if I get emotional, because when you have a real encounter with God, it doesn't matter whether it's 10 years ago or 5 minutes ago, it always affects me, and it always makes me feel emotional. So it's about Jesus, and it's about his great love for us. And I may, just as I'm talking, just say a random thing, and that'll only be because I believe that God wants me to emphasize something about my testimony. Sometimes when I give my testimony, I'll emphasize on a certain part and ignore another part. But God's not willing that anyone should perish. You know, it doesn't matter how old, what you've done, where you come from. You know, we've got a really strange mix of people here, and it's bizarre how we all end up here from all different parts of the world, from all different backgrounds, different types of education. You know, it's just, you couldn't script it. It's just unbelievable. You know, we've got people from Montserrat, we've got people from Romania, we've got people from Iran. You know, my background's Turkish. You know, it's just unbelievable. So I've just given you a hint. Yeah, I was brought up in a part of London where they used to call it Little Cyprus, and mainly because a lot of Greek and Turkish people lived there. And my dad was a Turkish Cypriot, and he fought for Britain during the Second World War, because at that time Cyprus was under British colonial rule. And after the war, he came to London and worked as an immigrant, you know. And we kind of, as being brought up in London, we experienced the whole dynamics of being in from an immigrant background. And I would say that I wasn't churched at all. I never went to church, only a few times, which I'll point out. But my dad was a Muslim, and all my ancestors from my dad's side of the family, we traced it back, and originally they came from Mongolia. So, you know, in the Great Migration, they came from Mongolia and through to Turkey and ended up in Cyprus. So North London was where I was brought up, and I was quite a rebellious child, and it wasn't long before I really was going off the rails in my life. I just always was pushing the boundaries with everything, and I wasn't interested in school. I was a bad son to have. I caused my parents a lot of heartache, you know. And I eventually ended up experimenting with drugs, and you know, my life was completely out of control. I didn't like myself, and I didn't really want to be me. But there was a part of me that was wanted really to find out who this God was, you know. I'd had, and so that, then I really immersed myself in Islam, and I began to really study the Quran and just really try to find my meaning in life from that. And the more I seemed to study it, the more I thought that there was a part of me that it just didn't resonate with at all. And I just thought, this can't be right, you know. It seemed to cause me a lot of problems. And anyway, so there I was, my life out of control, immersed myself in Islam, and my drug problem had spiraled out of control. And it culminated in me one evening going to a pub to do a drug deal with somebody. And it went wrong. This arrangement with this guy went wrong. And he dropped a load of these tablets on the floor, and I, without him seeing, I took them. I didn't even know what they were. And anyway, so I picked them up, and we did this deal, and he gave me some free ones, you know. I'm telling you the horrible details of it because it's part of what happened. And unbeknown to me, I'd taken an overdose, quite a serious overdose. Anyway, off he went. I sat at the bar of this pub and started to feel really ill. And I thought, I've got to get out of here. I've got to get home. And at that time, I was still staying at my parents' house, which was not very far away. It would have been like from here to the college on the corner. And as I started to walk home, I started to lose control of my limbs. And at one point, I'd fallen down in the middle of the road on a zebra crossing, and someone dragged me across. I was in a terrible state, you know. I mean, it was hideous. My life was hideous. You know, you can be alive, but you can be dead. You know, you can even be in church and not know God. You know what I mean? There are these things that, you know, I was alive, but really inside I was dead. I had no life at all. You know, I lived for this buzz of having, you know, taking drugs now and again, and, you know. But inwardly, deeply wanting to search for the truth. So anyway, eventually, how I don't know, I managed to make it to that I could see the front door of my parents' house, and I sort of stood there, and this is how it happened. It was like two black curtains came across and went like that. And I'm like, right. And that was that. Shortly after that, I was woken up by my parents, both my parents. I could hear both my parents crying. Yeah. And this is like not a dreamlike state. This is like real. So I was aware that I was lying on the bed, and I turned round, and my mum was kneeling by the bed and she was crying. And I said to her, "Mum, why are you crying?" She just ignored me. She couldn't hear me. But I was completely conscious, and I'm like, why are you ignoring me? My dad was there just in the background crying as well. And I thought, what on earth is going on? Now, I'd had some really strange experiences around that time, like out of my body things, and I was seeing some really weird stuff because, you know, my dad said to me, if you think evil, you see evil. And, you know, it was a lot of bad stuff was happening, spiritual things around that time. And I thought it was just another one of them. So I tried to kind of get myself back into my body, and it just wasn't happening. And I then sat up on the edge of the bed and looked right at my mum and said, why are you ignoring me? And she couldn't hear me. And when I turned round, my body was still there. And I realised that I was sat on the edge of the bed, and my spirit was actually separate from my body. And I thought, this is really... So I laid back down again, tried to line myself up with my body, and it just didn't happen at all. Now, some of these details are just, like, absolutely weird, but I found out years later they actually line up with the Bible. And all of a sudden, I started to float like a balloon, and I ended up like I was laying on my back on the ceiling, looking down at my body, and my body was attached to my spirit by a cord, like a balloon. It was like that. I'm like, I didn't know that there was anything like that on me. What's going on? Now, there I could see them all crying. I could see my body there, my dad, my mum. They were wailing, And then all of a sudden that cord snapped, and then I just shot off. I could see the room, the house, and it got smaller and smaller, and then almost like an explosion it was, and I was no longer in this world. That's all I can say. I was in utter darkness, completely separated from anything, anyone. There was no sounds. All it was me and my thoughts. That was it. And I thought, God, if I'm here forever, that's like hell. And I started to cry out to God, you know. I said, oh God, Allah, Muhammad, help me. Nothing was happening at all. Absolutely nothing. And I started to pray, you know, the Muslim prayer, you know, nothing at all. There's a bit of winding backwards and forwards in this. So before this experience, about a month or so before it, I'd been in hospital, all to do with my being sick and stuff. And I was laying in the bed, and a Salvation Army woman came in. And not many people, unless you're from Iran or Arabic or from the Middle East, could you pronounce my name properly. But she was English, and she came and she looked at my name at the bed, and she went, Ruhi Ismail, oh, what a lovely name. And I went, how do you know how to say my name? But like, she spoke to me like she knew me somehow, and she kept saying my name, Ruhi, can I come and sit next to you? And I said, yeah, come and sit, yeah, if you have to. And anyway, this woman came and she sat, and it was like she knew me, you know. I thought, where is this woman, where's she come from? Anyway, as she sat there, she then said to me, can I pray for you? And I said, if you want to pray for me, you can pray for me. I had a really bad attitude, really horrible, yeah. And when we go out onto the street and we have encounters like healing on the street and that, you'll have people that will respond to you in exactly the same way as I did. I was off. Yeah, but do you know what? That woman, as off as I seemed with her and all the rest of it, she pushed through, and she said a prayer for me. And in that prayer that she said for me, guess what? She gave me the message of the gospel. She told me that Jesus was God's son, that he loved me, that he died on the cross for me, all this stuff. And in my head, you know, there's that song Robbie Williams sings, you know, my head speaks a language that I don't understand. When she was talking to me, I thought, she's talking nonsense. But no, do you know what? It was filtering through to me, to my spirit. And she gave me the message that Jesus loved me, that he rose again. In a nutshell, a quick, you know, he died for me, and he died for me, and I could be born again. And all that stuff was all encapsulated in that prayer while I was in that hospital. So I'm winding forward again. There I was in that dark place, hopeless, believe me. You don't want to end up there and not know God, not know who Jesus is. And I said, and I shouted out into the darkness, I said, if Jesus is real, like that woman said, God help me, Jesus, please help me. Jesus, please help me. And I just said it over and over again. And all of a sudden, there was an explosion. And I shot off out of that place. And I was no longer in a dark place. I was in this tunnel of light. And if ever you hear people, a classic story, so many people, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who have had similar experiences, travelling through a tunnel of light that was going on and on and on and on and on. I thought, this is it. I'm going to wherever it is that I'm going. Yeah? Where am I going to end up? And anyway, this light at the end got brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter, and then boom, suddenly I shot out of this tunnel, and it was like I was like this. I was like on a riverbank, it was, and there was a torrent of water there coming, going past. If it had jumped into it, I don't know where you would have ended up, into oblivion, I don't know, but it was impassable, that place. But on the other side of that river was a place. And I'm stood here and I thought, I need to be there. How do I get there? And as I was looking at this place, that it was the indescribable, the most amazing place. It was like you could see all these colours that I've never seen colours like that. I couldn't even explain to you what they looked like. There was colours, there was sound, you know, there was love, there was everything that, you know, I just thought, I need to be there. How do I get there? And I stood there at the bank of this river, and then all of a sudden, amazing, because of that woman, what she said earlier, and I just, you know, it was in parallel with it. Anyway, out of that place, suddenly this light just came up out of it, and I'm only telling you what I saw, because he's told me to tell you what I saw, and I saw this light with all this colour coming out of it. No human form, nothing, just light. And a voice, and he just said to me, the first thing he said was, I am, I am. And I thought, who's that? I am the Alpha and the Omega. Didn't mean a thing to me. And all the time this light's moving further and further towards, coming nearer and nearer. I'm the Lily of the Valley, the Lion of Judah. Nothing. Doesn't mean a thing to me. I'm like, who is this? You know, but then I got this sense that this light knew everything about me. I suddenly began to feel that it was seeing and discerning. It knew everything I'd ever done, everything I'd ever said. You know, it just knew everything about me. And I just started to go down, like onto my knees, you know. I thought, I've got to get down because I can't bear to look at this light anymore, you know. And then he said, I'm the Messiah as well. He says, I'm Messiah. I'm the Messiah. And well, I knew what that was, because the word Messiah is actually it's impregnated into Arabic language, Turkish language, even all the Middle Eastern languages. If you say the word Messiah, they know exactly what you mean. It's God. It's God returning. It's God. Oh, I thought, this is God's God, Messiah. So I'm down on the floor like that. And then he started to say other things. I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one goes to the Father but by me. You've got to understand, I'd never heard any of this stuff before because I'd never been to church. Yeah? So I'm like, I'm the way, you know. So then, he was on my side now, and he said to me, Rui, I'm going to show you your life. And so out of this light, he just sort of seemed to turn me around, so I was facing in another way, and I was like looking at this big screen. It felt like it was a big screen, and he was showing me like little pockets of things, you know, different times in my life when he was there with me. I was like, you were there then? Yeah, I've been with you, you know. And I just said, well, take me with you then. Just take me with you. And he said, no, it's not your time. Now is not your time to be taken. Anyway, can you believe this? The audacity. But that's great. Because God, you know something? He does not mind you asking him stuff. Yeah? He loves for you to question him. He doesn't even mind doubt. He doesn't mind it. As long as it's honest. As long as you're being honest. And my life had been like, I don't believe that. But there I was. I had this doubt that what was happening, what was it that was happening? What was I actually experiencing? I'm going to wind back. This will encourage you, honestly. This will encourage you, yeah? Stephen said we were sowing seeds. I'm going to wind right back to when I was about 5 or 6 years of age, and there was a guy, right? John Piercy, his name was, and him and his dad, they were missionaries. They used to go to the Middle East, they used to go to Turkey, used to take Bibles. And in them days, when you took Bibles to them places, you'd go to prison. They would put you in prison. You wouldn't even go to court, you wouldn't have a trial, nothing. These were full-on people that really, really believed that Jesus was real, and they were willing to go to prison for it. And this guy used to come round to the area in London where I lived, and he used to go to streets where Turkish people lived, and he would go and knock on the door, and he would say, "Is it all right if I take whoever it is, you know, to the mission hall?" And the kids around there at that time, you've got to imagine it. I went on that one day because the other kids said to me, "If you go there, they give you orange and drinks and biscuits." They talk a lot of stuff about the Bible, but you know, you go there and they'll give you the, you know. So I thought, "Oh great, I'll go." And so he asked my dad. My dad's name was Tayar, right? So he says, "Tayar, can Rui come?" And he says, "Yeah, if he wants to go, that's his decision. That's between him and God, not to do with me. That's his decision, you know." So off I went. On that day, I had biscuits and drinks and stuff. And then they said, "We're gonna tell you a Bible story." And I sat there, and my head was everywhere, you know. I didn't think that what they were telling me was meaned anything. I didn't think it was important for my life or nothing, yeah. They told a story about Doubting Thomas, yeah, on that day that I happened to be there. The story about Doubting Thomas. Doubting, even though he knew Jesus was, he doubted that when Jesus had risen from the dead and all the rest of it, it was actually him. And he asked, didn't he, "Can he stick his finger in his side?" Yeah, this is a guy who knew him and walked with him and everything. Even he had doubts, yeah. So, I remembered, you know, because there's a part of us that when God speaks a language that our heads don't understand, somehow it filters through to our spiritual heart, our heart, the core of who we are, it filters through. And even though I was only a little boy, that message about Doubting Thomas, it filtered through, you know. And I carried that all through my life, all the way through to that point when I was there. And I said, "If you're who you say you are," can you believe that? I was having that experience and I had that doubt. And I said, "If you're who you say you are," because he'd said he was the Messiah, the Christ, the Alpha and the Omega and all that, "prove it." Can you believe it? The audacity. But I needed to know. And out of that light, I swear to you, two hands just came out of the light like that, a bit like that picture up there, but there were nail marks in the hand. In the hand. And I said, "I believe. Take me with you. Please take me with you." And he said, "No. You're not coming with me now. But I'm going to show you some things. I'm going to tell you some things." And he said, "What you've experienced now, what you're experiencing now, listen to this strange thing. As time goes on, you won't forget more, you'll remember more." Well, that goes against human thinking, doesn't it? Normally, as you get older, you forget stuff, didn't you? But he said, "As time goes by, you'll remember more, you won't forget." And I'm like, that's a really weird thing to tell me. What does that mean? I don't know. At the time, I didn't know. But as years went by, I understood, because now I'm remembering stuff that God pointed out to me in a moment in time when I was there in that place. And he said, what you've seen, what you've experienced, you're going to have opportunity in your life to tell people what you've seen, what you've heard, yeah? And if you get the opportunity to share that with people, then share it. Some people will believe because of it, and some people will not believe because of what you've told them. And that, what? They won't believe. Because even when Jesus was there, alive and raising people from the dead, and they were seeing stuff that he did, even they didn't believe. And they saw dead people coming up. Yeah, can you understand that? The logic of that. Some people say, if I saw this, and if I heard that, and if I did that, then I'll believe. No, it's got nothing to do with that. Because at Jesus' time, there were people doing counterfeit miracles. Yeah, there were people doing the same stuff as Jesus. But Jesus said something different, didn't he? He says, I've got the power to forgive. I've got the power to give you eternal life. Yeah, Jesus says then and now, I am the way. No one goes to the Father but by me. Please take me with you. No, I want you to go back. I'm going to send you back into your life, into the world, and you're going to tell people what you've seen and heard. I don't want to go back. Please don't send me back. Yeah? So out of the light, the hand came, he says, I'm going to send you back because time's running out. And I don't know what that meant, but maybe if I'd have been there any longer, he wouldn't have sent me back. I don't know. But anyway, so that experience all happened in reverse. Back through the tunnel of light, back in the dark place, boom, and this terrible pain going back into my body. But this was one of the most amazing things about it. If you think that was a crazy experience, and it, you know, I'll tell you that what happened was I woke up. I was aware that I was in my body and that I was alive again. The sun was coming in, beaming in through the room, and I thought, I've got to go out and I've got to tell people what I've seen and what I've heard. I wasn't born again. I wasn't saved. I'd had an encounter with God. Right? Having an encounter with God doesn't make you saved. It don't make you born again. Yeah? Nicodemus, there's a message there. How do you do that? You have to be born again. He says, how do I do it? Jesus says, you have to be born again. Yeah? So that's the part that was missing. I wasn't born again. But I'd had an encounter with God. So I went out. First people I saw were some druggy friends. And I told them this experience. They said to me, you've absolutely lost it, mate. You need to go and see a doctor. I said, I'm telling you, I saw the Spirit of God and he spoke to me and he told me all this stuff. Yeah? No, you're mad. You're mad. You've gone mad. You've gone too far. I went to a church that was nearby and knocked on the front door of this church. I kept knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking on this church door, and the minister came out and he opened the door and, well, what do you want? I said, I've had an experience. I need to talk to you about my experience. Maybe you can help me. And he said, he didn't let me come in the church. He stood at the door and I told him the story. And he said to me, I think you need to go and see a doctor. I think you need help. You need help. Yeah. So, yeah, that's a negative. Yeah. There was a man who was a minister with the collar on and all the rest of it telling me that what I had experienced wasn't real. It didn't happen. I was crazy. Yeah. So I walked around and eventually it was getting dark. I went back, got home. And when I got home, knocked on the door, both my parents were there. And they were really upset. They were like, do you know what's happened? And I'm like, well, I've had a crazy experience. I'll tell you what happened, but you tell me what happened. Right, so this is their version of it. Late, about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, for some unknown reason, my dad woke up, opened the curtains, looked out, and there I was lying in the gutter at the front of the house. This is their version of what they saw. And it was somewhere around about October, November. It had been raining. I was freezing cold. It said that I'd started to go blue, you know. And they dragged me into the back room, put me on that bed. And they said, we put the fire on and we tried to to warm you up. And then she said, well, they said, well, something really strange happened. I said, well, what was it? She said, well, I can't explain it because you're here. But they said, your heart stopped. So I said, well, how do you know my heart stopped? So she said to my dad, she used to call him Tom. That wasn't his name, but she said, Tom, tell him what happened. And he said, Ruhi, you were dead. I said, well, how do you know I was dead? He said, I was in the war. I know what a dead man is. You were dead. And I said, well, how long was I dead for? And he said, for about 6 hours. We were crying, not believing God will allow our son to die in front of us. We were praying and crying. And I said, well, Mum, why didn't you call an ambulance? And my dad said, this was his humour, he said, a dead man does not need ambulance. He needs funeral. So, there you go. I believe God was going to do something. And then they said, after about 6 hours, they walked in the room and suddenly colour had come back to my body and I was alive. Well, how long was I actually there in the room for then? You were there for 3 days, sleeping. 3 days, sleeping. And it's funny because I've heard a lot of other people this has happened to. There seems to be, with a lot of people, a parallel. 3 days. Lazarus was 3 days. I'm not comparing myself to any, I'm just saying there's something about 3 days. I don't know what it was. But third day, I was alive again. So after that, I told them what happened to me. Because they witnessed me outside. They witnessed me die, their own son. And they witnessed their own son come back to life again. And then I told them what had happened to me. Of seeing Jesus, Christ and all that. They had absolutely no problem believing it. We still weren't saved. Yeah, knowing all that stuff does not save you. Knowing that Jesus is God's son doesn't save you. Coming to church and saying your prayers does not save you. Yeah, you're not born again. Spirit of God needs to dwell in your heart. You need to ask for Jesus to forgive you and put to death the old person, that he can put in the new, who you really are, who you're supposed to be. Yeah. So after that, me and my mum went on like a pilgrimage to go and find Jesus. Can you believe it? I having had that experience, you'd think it'd be easy, wouldn't you? No, it weren't. We went to churches. We'd walk in a church and go, no, God's not here. Serious. God's spirit's not there. No, he's not here. No, they're all a load of lunatics. Like in this church, but you've got God's spirit though. And I even went to a church where years after me and Janet met. And it was funny because when they heard my testimony, I said, we went there and said, God's spirit wasn't there. I said, no, you're right, it wasn't at that time. We'd gone off the rails at that time. And it's a good thing you didn't come to that church, because it would have sent you off track. So, yeah, there are churches that don't have God's spirit in. There are ministers who don't know God. Sorry to have to tell you that, but there are. Because if you think all ministers and all churches are good, they're not. Right, let me just tell you that. But God had a plan, and the man who thought I was mad, and the other people, God overrode. You know, God's purpose in my life, God won't let. God is not willing that any man should perish. Yeah, God is not willing that any man should perish. It don't matter how old you are, what culture you come from, what religion background you come from, whether you've been to prison and all that stuff. Yeah, because I'd been there as well. Been there, done that. Yeah. And So we went for weeks and weeks and weeks, and by that time I was living somewhere else. I'd moved out of my mum's house, and my mum went, I'll tell you this, she went to Cornwall, which is where her family were from, and her mum was dying of cancer. And while she was there, she met a relative of hers who was born again. Ronald Hitchin, his name was. And he was full on born again. And while she was there, through the experience, God, obviously the timing of it and everything, it all made sense to my mum. And my mum became born again through that relative. And I got a message to say that my mum was going to come and visit me. And so I knew that I'd got a message that that my nan had died, but I didn't know anything else. That was all I knew. And why is it making that noise? And then, so what I did was, I waited. I knew that my mum was coming around, and this is how it happened. She knocked on the door of my flat, and I opened the door, and my mum stood there looking at me. And I looked at her and I said, "Mum, what have you done to your face?" I said, "You look completely different." She said, "Well, let me come in and I'll explain." And I said, "There's something really different about you. What is it?" And it's a strange thing to say, isn't it? But I'd known my mum all my life, but in that moment that I was looking at her, there was something with her that had never been there before, that wasn't there before. I'd known my mum all my life, but in that moment that I saw her and I was looking at her, there was something resident with her that wasn't there ever before. But I recognised it. It was the same light, the same kind of light that I saw there on the other side of the river. The same light that spoke to me. The same light who said he was the Messiah. Yeah? Because the Bible says when a man comes to Christ, a man or a woman comes to Christ, the old has gone, the new has come. And it was so tangibly evident in my mum that she didn't even need to tell me a Bible verse. You understand me? When you get full on born again, now I want to give you a word of encouragement, yeah? When you walk about the streets and stuff and you talk to people, don't feel a great pressure to start Bibleizing people, yeah? Because you carry the mantle, you carry the lantern with you. Now, sometimes when people see you and you're born again, you will get opposition from them. Immediately, they're put off by you. They see something in you that makes them, like, almost scared. Yeah? It can be that real to people that don't know God, that are living in darkness, that when they see you, it's so evident that it freaks them out, and they don't know why it is that there's something there, you know, that's triggering something in them, like a fear. But, you know, it's the love of God, yeah? So there I am, my mum's there. She said, come in. And I said, "Mum, what is it?" She said, "I'm born again." I said, "What do you mean, born again? What's that?" She said, Just sit down and I'll explain to you. She said, "I've invited Jesus into my heart. I've made him Lord and Saviour of my life. And I'm forgiven. I'm born again." And I just said, "How do I do it?" I didn't need any explanation. I just said, "How do I do it, Mum? Tell me what I need to do it." She said, "You can sit, you can kneel, whatever you want to do, just do what, you know, but just say this prayer with me, yeah?" So I got down on my knees like that, you know, and I owe this business. I didn't, you know, man, like, "Lord Jesus, forgive me my sins. Come into my life and be my Lord and Saviour. And forgive me all that I've done wrong in my life." Stood up and I didn't feel any different. I didn't feel any different at all. I'll be honest with you, I didn't feel any different. I got up the next day. I thought, I'm born again, whatever that means. You know, I didn't know. A week had gone by, 2 weeks, and I started to think, what is it that's there's something that's really different about me, and I can't work it out what it is. It's like something that I've forgotten to do. And you know what had happened? In that moment when I got down on my hands and knees and prayed and asked Jesus to be my Lord and Saviour, I'd been completely delivered from all desire to take drugs. I've been completely healed. Now I'm telling you, anybody who knows anyone who's been in drenched in drug, and I know lots of people, a lot of my friends died, I was completely healed in that moment. I got up and I said, oh my God, it took away completely the desire for that. And I thought, that's what it is. That is a miracle. That is a miracle that's taken place in my life. Yeah? And so there I was. And then I found a church not far from me and started my walk with God. And I really liked that church. And that church is still going. It was a Pentecostal church. You know, like 50% Jamaican, 10% African. There were Greeks, Maltese people in there. It was great. It was a great, great place for me to start, you know, my walk with God. And, you know, I'm telling you that today, I know it's, listen, if you're in this church, and you don't actually know God in that way, the way that I'm telling you, to be born again. Yeah, I'm born again, and I'm not boasting about me, I'm boasting about Jesus. I'm born again, and I know that I'm going to heaven. And do you know what? God gave me a glimpse of heaven, even though I wasn't really a believer. Yeah, because God can do what he likes. Yeah, God can do absolutely anything. I want to encourage you about your faith. I want to encourage you about sowing seeds and not feeling too much pressure, yeah, because God is the one who creates situations. If you get up in the morning and you say, God, be with me throughout this day, I'll tell you what, you will find that he'll put you in the most amazing situations and conversations with people where you don't need to engineer stuff. Because he's the great engineer. He's the great architect. He's the one who works out and maps stuff out, you know, to meet you. It's not a coincidence meeting where you meet a person and stuff. I've had crazy situations where I've done that and I've met people, you know, like just even just thought about that person in my head. And then 10 minutes later, boom, they're there. And I'm like, wow, God, you're just so amazing. But he's not just amazing for me, he's amazing for you, he's amazing for all of us. Right, if you don't know Jesus in the way that I've explained to you, it don't matter how old you are, don't let time pass you by. Don't let time pass you by to not have that chance to say, God, you know, Jesus, I know that you're God's son, and that you died on the cross and you rose again for me, that I could be born again and be saved and be forgiven. If you don't know that today, can I just tell you, can I please, don't walk out of here without speaking to somebody. Yeah? My experience is no more powerful and no more miraculous than, was it Bridget? Natalie, Brittany, it is no more miraculous. It's the same miracle that takes place. Even though she did it in a different way to me, it's the same resurrection experience. When you ask Jesus into your life, when you get born again, that same power of resurrection takes place. With me, I could see it and, you know, I knew exactly, it was great, you know, because when people say, oh, yeah, but who's ever been? Who's ever? Well, I go, I have. And they just say, oh, you're a nutter. Yeah? But I'm telling you, I've been and I've seen. Yeah? Now, if you don't believe that that happened to me, that's fine. I'm only telling you what I've been told to tell you. There are no books at the back. There are no CDs and DVDs to buy from my story. I'm not with a publisher. There's no subscription online. There's no money to be had. I'm telling you because I've been told to tell you. There's no profit. The only profit in it is from the kingdom. And I've wondered over the years, because people have said to me, why don't you write a book? Why don't you do this? Why? I say, no, God never told me to do that. He just told me to tell people. I'm not interested in doing it for that reason. I'm interested in telling you, because believe me, if you don't know God, I would hate for you to say, I never knew, because no one told me. Yeah? It's not scaremongering. That woman who came to see me, the Salvation Army woman, was brave enough, even though I was, you know, really negative towards her, to tell me the story. Jesus loves you. He died and rose again. Yeah. He overcame death for you. Yeah. And all you have to do is tell him that you're sorry and that you want to be forgiven, and he'll forgive you and be your saviour. You just need to ask him. That's all you need to do. Yeah. And your walk will be different than mine. Yeah. But you'll be saved. All who declare from their mouths, because if you can't declare it from your mouth, it's not in there. If you declare from your mouth that Jesus is God's son and all that, it says, doesn't it, in the Bible, yeah, then you'll be saved. Yeah, that's at one level. Yeah. So I would encourage you, if there is anyone, is there anyone here who wants to invite Jesus into their heart? Would you just bow your heads, and we'll do it anonymously, because there may be someone in here who wants to do it but feels that they don't want to be seen, yeah, necessarily. So can we all just bow our heads? Yeah. It don't hurt to say this prayer again, you know. You can keep saying it. I keep saying it even though I've experienced what I've experienced. Right. Jesus, I really thank you that in spite of who we are, who I am, that you love me, you love all of us, Lord, and you have a purpose and a plan, and you're not willing that anyone should perish. Lord, I just pray that if there's anyone here, Lord, who doesn't actually know you this morning as their Lord and Saviour and wants to, would they just put their hand up now and we can pray with them when they're ready afterwards. We're just going to say this prayer. Lord Jesus, we just acknowledge that you are the Son of God, and that you did die and you did rise again on the third day. And you did it, Lord, because you did it to overcome the grave, and you did it to overcome sin, and you did it to make a way for us to have eternal life through you. So, Lord, now we just confess that all of us have sinned and we need to be forgiven. Lord, I just want to ask you to come into my heart afresh, anew, and be my Lord and Saviour. And help me, help us to walk in a way that we're not fearful, and in a way that we don't feel under pressure, Lord, but that we can be confident of knowing that lantern of light is in us when we've asked you, when we've invited you in to be Lord and Saviour of our lives, and we carry it with us, Lord. Help us to be more open. Help us to be more willing, Lord, to commit what we do and say for it to our lives, to be a vehicle, Lord, for you, to bring glory to your name, Jesus. and to bring souls into your kingdom, Lord. So, Lord, I just want to pray for this church coming into this building and really sense that you're here, Lord, and that you're moving in this group of people. And, you know, I just really thank you for that. Lord, I just pray that you would fulfill your purposes and your plans through the people that are here. And Lord, that we would, that miracles and miraculous things will become like an everyday thing. Lord, there's no reason why it can't be miraculous, and it can't be miraculous all the time. And we just pray for that. We just pray that you would make openings for this body of people to just share the gospel and share the love of Jesus for the people around and all the people that they come into through their work and through their families. Lord, we just pray for your blessing on them. In Jesus' name, amen.